everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the meeting today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that microphones work as a queuing system. Your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue, and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on an issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you are attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in once all of those within the chamber have spoken. Instant messages should be kept to the following letters: Q if you wish to ask a question, C for a comment, P if you wish to propose, and S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. All right, everyone, you're very welcome to this committee meeting for February. So, item one is apologies. Chairperson's remark. I don't have any remarks. Is there any apologies?
Chair, there's apologies from councillors O'Hare and Taylor.
Thank you. Item two, declarations of interest. Do you have any declarations of interest?
None, Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Item 3 is the Action Sheet of Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting held on the 28th of January 2026. So it's pages 9 and 10. Have any issues arising? No. Could I get a proposer and a seconder there for item 3? Proposed by Councillor Hurdy and seconded by Councillor Ruan. Thank you. Yeah, we move on to item 4, which is the officer report on the notice of motion, solar powered CCTV cameras. And Sinead, this is you.
Thank you, Chair. This paper is for decision, and the purpose of this report is to facilitate discussion on the notice of motion received from Councillor King as deferred from the Council meeting on the 12th of January 2026 in accordance with the Standing Order 16.1.6. The Environment Department has recently strengthened its operational capacity with recruitment officers, and these appointments will provide a more coordinated and proactive approach to tackling environmental crime, improving community engagement and delivering consistent enforcement across the district, and that is outlined in this evening's report. An update report will also be tabled at the Sustainability and Environmental Working Group on this matter in 26-27. Members are asked to consider the notice of motion and note the proposed actions by the Environment Department of the Council. Members are also asked to write to the Deputy Minister requesting information on the available support and funding for tackling illegal dumping effectively across the district. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Sinead. So this motion was proposed by Councillor Cathal King and seconded by Councillor Mathers at full council. So Councillor King, do you want to come in and speak on it?
Sure, thank you very much. And yeah, just to make a couple of brief remarks. You know, there's no doubt that illegal dumping continues to be a serious and persistent issue across the district. And we've seen that strikingly, particularly in Newry City, over the past couple of weeks regarding the fly tipping along our main roads. You know, it carries clear environmental consequences, public health risks, and a significant financial burden on ratepayers. And that is why I brought this motion forward, not simply to highlight the problem, but to encourage us to look at innovative and practical solutions. You know, we've seen positive developments with our neighbours in Louth and our colleagues as well, where solar-powered CCTV cameras have been introduced as part of a targeted anti-dumping strategy. And reports indicate that the cameras have already led to detections and enforcement action at known dumping hotspots. So importantly, their approach has involved evaluation and review to ensure effectiveness and value for money. And there's been recent reports and articles published where councillors can look up and obviously see the evaluations and the effectiveness of this type of enforcement. I'm encouraged by the response from Sinead's team. With the recent drive of recruitment, it shows that a more coordinated approach is being taken. Embedding illegal dumping within the education and enforcement plan, particularly, is a welcome and necessary step. And that tells me the council are very much aligned in our thinking. Working collaboratively with Louth County Council, the County Council, makes practical sense. They've already deployed the technology, they reviewed their outcomes and began to see results instantly. I think it was within a six, that they carried out a 6-month review since the CCTV was put up. So I think it's really important that we learn from their experience, and that will allow us to move forward efficiently on the matter. Ultimately, this is about deterrence, enforcement and protecting our environment. Solar powered CCTV at known hotspots combined with education and consistent enforcement could form an important part of a wider anti-dumping initiative. So I welcome the department's response and look forward to the feasibility study that will be carried out and an update in quarter one. So thanks very much for letting me speak. Sure, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Young.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks to Councillor King for bringing this motion. I'm sure we're all inundated with complaints about fly tipping. I'm just wondering if you would possibly consider an amendment, given the fact that we're collaborating with Louth County Council. I know that they had conducted an amnesty on mattresses being lifted, and I think it was quite successful. I know it's not directly connected with the CCTV motion, but is that something that you would consider adding, or is it something that we could maybe look at separately, an amnesty for the collection of mattresses? Thanks, Chair.
Mr. King, do you want to come back on that proposed amendment there?
Look, Chair, and thanks, Felina, for your contribution there. You know, a lot of work has went in over the past couple of months, especially with Louth, by myself, in coming up with this motion. Of course, Felina, I think your contribution, you know, details something quite specifically. I think with the motion that's proposed at the moment, no doubt it will already, those conversations down the line will happen, but just at this moment, I'm quite content with the motion brought forward and Council's response towards that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor King. I'm just going to let Sinead Traynor in here just to address Councillor Young's question.
So just come back on mattresses. So just to update members that they are accepted at our HRC sites, and also then our customers, our residents can also organise, excuse me, bulky collection through our customer services support, and that will be collected from the doorstep. So that service is also available in council, just to make members aware of both those matters. Thank you.
Thank you, Sinead.
Thank you, Sinead. Councillor Riley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to ask Sinead, I haven't read the report in full because I couldn't bring it up for some reason, but are we talking about covert or overt recording? And you see those cameras that are movement activated. Even the battery ones can last for 18 months, 2 years, you know, so you don't need to put such a high degree of emphasis on the solar issue. But whenever I wanted this done in the past, the council advised me that if you're doing it, you have to put the signs up warning that this area is under CCTV surveillance. You can hide the cameras covertly, you know, you can record covertly, but you still have to put up the signage to say that this area is covered with CCTV and the council will bring about prosecutions. I don't know if the law is the same in the south or how we would link that in, but it's a brilliant idea and something I've asked for many times over the years, but there was always logistical problems with it or legal problems with it. So if it's moving forward now, I would very much welcome it. But could you just give me a steer on the legality of it, how we'll be able to work it? Thank you.
Councillor Riley, just you mentioned there that you couldn't read or look at the report, so I'll just refer to 2.2 just to clarify. So as part of this work and the preparations that the officers will complete, a feasibility study and a business case, along with considering governance arrangements, legal considerations including access arrangements, GDPR, and we'll consult our trade union. So we have a bit of work to do on this in terms of how we will do this, but you're right, you know, in the past it has been that the sign has gone up and overt surveillance was carried out, but we have a bit of work to do on that, and we will keep members involved and updated as to how that will progress. Hope that clarifies the matter. Thank you.
Thanks, Sinead. I was just wondering, could Councillor King advise, what way is it done in Louth?
In what way, Henry, sir?
What way is it recorded? How have they set them up? The cameras and that?
Yeah, so...
Councillor Riley, we can take that up with the Louth County Council and bring it back to the a report on that.
Yeah, that'll do well.
Then. They do it. Is that all right?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Finn.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And just to say that I really welcome that this motion has come to committee this evening, because I think fly tipping is something, and it is, as Councillor King mentioned, something that is a particular scourge in Uri, and it's one thing that drives me insane is people particularly throwing rubbish out of cars. And I know I had mentioned it at Sustainability and Environment Working Group just before, but particularly we've seen issues along the I-1 slip roads, and there's mixed reports about the kind of responsibility of those areas. So I think it's really important that this kind of technology is going to be brought in. And I thought Cahill's mention of education and enforcement is really important, because it's so necessary that we know who is responsible for what areas. So I wondered if Councillor King would accept an amendment that we also write to the Department of Infrastructure so that we can identify areas that are responsible within our remit for cleaning, along with the DIRA Minister, to get that real fulsome picture of where potentially we could be placing these cameras, and to actually see which areas we're responsible for and what we can do to drive this forward. Because fly tipping, as you'll have seen, those verges have been cut, and it's just appalling the amount of litter that we have left there, and we really shouldn't be letting our natural environment look like this, let alone the impact that it has for people coming into the city is just a disgrace. So I wondered if Councillor King would accept that amendment to write to the Department of Infrastructure as well.
Thanks, Councillor Finn. It's not actually the motion that you would be making an amendment to, it's actually the report that has come back from the officers. So an additional recommendation you can ask for to be added by the officers. Is that okay?
Yeah, that would be great. And if Councillor King, it's just to, I guess, check if he's happy to have that included, because I know he wasn't with Councillor Young, so I just wanted to help embrace that.
Sure. Will I just come back in, Chair? Or?
Yeah. Sure. Cool. Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's just in relation to Councillor Finn's point there. Are the Council aware of what areas they are responsible for? Light tipping, etc. already? And if so, why would we write to the Department of Infrastructure? Clarify what we already know.
Yes, so just in relation to, to that point, Council are collaborating with DFI in relation to the, particularly the slip roads that Councillor Finn is referring to. It is a complex matter in terms of the practicalities, safety issues around addressing litter in these high-speed areas. So we are liaising with DFI so that we can work in collaboration in the future in terms of when the road verges are cut, that our scheduled work can be carried out in conjunction so that we don't have verge. It is a separate contract, as members will be aware. The A1 is managed by a contractor on behalf of DFI, so we are working with how that will actually be managed.
So that process is ongoing anyway, so
yes.
In contact with DFI. Okay, thank you. Thanks, Chair. Sinead.
Thanks, Councillor Larkin. Yes, so the process is actually ongoing and collaboration is happening already with DFI on all the road versions and the slip roads. So if everyone is happy enough, could I get a proposer and a seconder for the actual paper? Proposed by Councillor Kate Murphy and seconded by Councillor Larkin. Thank you. Sorry, Councillor Byrne, I missed your comment there.
Yeah, Chair. Just on Councillor Finn's proposal, obviously, to say that is an additional recommendation. I just want clarity if that's been added, because it's not about what Councillor Larkin says about just looking after their own council area. One of the proposals here is to identify opportunities for joint learning and shared resources. So while we're engaging with Loud County Council, if we want effective joint learning and shared resources, we have to have the proposal in there for engagement with DFI as well. So I want clarity that that has been added.
So if Councillor Finn is making a proposal right to DFI for the recommendations set out by the officers, we're going to need a seconder for that, and we're going to have to get full agreement in the chamber. Can you just clarify what you're proposing again, please, Councillor Finn, for the additions?
Sure, or we've already proposed a seconder and moved on again.
Una, I think Sinead's already pointed out all these issues are going to be discussed and we'll all have an opportunity to input, so I think we're going ahead of ourselves here.
I think so myself. I think Sinead Turner actually answered it all, that we're already in collaboration with DFI on all of these issues, so I don't see what writing to them again about it for us on something that's already happening. But again, it's my apologies, Councillor Byrne, I missed your comment there on the screen. But it has been proposed seconded here in the chamber, so after move on.
Chair, just for clarity on that, the proposal is joint learning and shared resources. If we don't outline that we are engaging with DFI and we're only outlining Loud County Council, then we're missing a trick here. It's all right, well and good, you know, after saying that engagement is ongoing. If we're really, truly honest about shared learning and joint resources, let's identify who we're talking to and put it in there in the proposals. It's quite straightforward.
Councillor Finn, are you looking back in there?
Yeah, I was looking, just, I know you had said for me to come back in, and I think it's just to reiterate the point that Pete made. I think it is really good that this work is ongoing, but at that stage when that proposal was made, I wasn't aware of that. And I think it is important that as a committee, when we do this kind of work, we actually do see that work coming through, which is why I think doing it through official channels is so important.
Through the chair, I have come back to clarify in terms of the detail of the work that's going on in collaboration with DFI, and I'm happy to share that that work and our work program with members as we move forward.
Is everyone sent with that? Yeah. Okay, we're going to move on to item 5. We have a proposed and seconder there for item 4, so we'll move on to item 5, which is the consultation on a single construction regulator prospectus. Sinead, that's you again.
Thank you, Chair. This paper is for decision. The purpose of this report is to seek committee approval to submit the Environmental Health Department's consultation response on the government's proposals for regulatory reform and the development of a single construction regulator to the Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government. Taking this paper as read, members are asked to approve the submission of the Environmental Health Department's consultation response to the Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government on government's proposal for regulatory reform and the development of a single construction regulator as detailed in Appendix 1. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks very much, Chair. And I say, looking through the paper, and one will never forget the Grenfell Tower disaster. And I do welcome, you know, the efforts being made since to bring in regulatory, that they more or less to ensure that this never happens again. So I'm happy enough that we do approve the recommendations supporting the establishment of a single construction regulator. I think that role is very important, and send out a clear message that everybody's committed to ensuring that a tragedy like that never happens again. So happy to propose, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Hardy.
The uniformity of regulations is a good thing. It'll help businesses. It'll help companies. Would have two major concerns about this. The first is that whenever we hear of Westminster departments talking about a single regulatory body, what often happens, and we've seen it with the likes of the OEP, is that it's based in England and it becomes a very England-centric body, and it doesn't take into account the different scenarios and situations that we'd have, particularly in the north of Ireland. And I suppose running on from that, the other concern would be that, again, for things as small and localised as businesses working on both sides of the border, and for major European issues like the CBAM or the Carbon Border Adjustment Mechanism, like those are all going to have major effects on us here. So it's important that we remain as closely aligned as possible with the EU, and in particular with the rest of Ireland, on these regulations. So in regards to the Council's consultation, I'm very happy actually to see that both those concerns have been outlined, and the Council has made the case that if there is to be a regulatory body, it would need at the very least a base or a branch here in the north, and also that body should be cognizant of the need for the north to remain aligned with the EU and the, you know, obviously special circumstances we'd have here with the businesses working on both sides of the border. So I'd be quite happy to second that.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Hardy. So we had a proposal by Councillor Andrews and seconded by Councillor Hardy there for item 5. Move on to item 6, which is the VFC consultation on notice to quit periods. And Sinead Trainer again.
Thank you, Chair. This paper is for decision. The purpose of this report is to update members on the proposed changes to notice to quit legislation and guidance to be enforced by councils in relation to the private rented sector, and for members to approve the consultation response submission to the Department for Communities in Appendix 1. Taking this paper as read, members are asked to note the proposed changes to the notice to quit legislation and guidance to be enforced by councils in relation to the private rented sector and to approve the return of the attached consultation response to DSC. Thank you, Chair.
So the notice to quit proposals, it's particularly frustrating, and it's kind of a consistent theme with Minister Lyons in that he takes two steps forwards on an issue and one step back. I mean, firstly, what we should be looking at here by rights, the right thing to do here is, would be a total ban on no-fault evictions. Extension of notice to quit, I suppose, would be kind of a half measure, but at least a half measure in the right direction. Unfortunately, despite the fact that this is about an extension of notice to quit, some of the aspects of it would actually reduce the amount of months people would have notice to quit. For example, if the landlord seeks to take occupation of the residency or a relative of his does previously, people living in that house would have maybe up to 6 or 7 months, and under these new proposals they would have been cut down to 3 months. I don't know if the Minister has, you know, had cause to try and rent a house in the past couple of years, but it's definitely not something that can be easily done in 3 months, particularly not if you've been living in a house for, or living in an area for a certain number of years and you're tied into, you know, the local schools, health, doctors there. Like, these are all things that take quite an amount of time to untangle. So, like I said, whereas the right thing to do would have been a ban on no-fault evictions, extension of notice to quit motions would have been at least a half measure in the right direction. This amounts to a quarter measure, but I suppose it's at least a quarter measure in the right direction.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Andrews?
Thanks so much, Chair. And at the moment, I'm sure all as councillors, we see a lot of constituents who are in private rentals and unfortunately are losing their homes in cases of the landlord selling his property and the tenants having nowhere to go. I think it is very important that I do support some of the issues here that are trying to be dealt with in regards to the private tenancies legislation, but on a wider picture, we need more houses, we need more stock. You know, the right to buy with the housing sector way back in the 70s, whenever Heseltine introduced the right to buy, but houses were sold but they weren't replaced. But I know in recent times the housing sector were given more powers and more to rebuild again, and I think the money and resources should be found to get more houses built, to give people in society, give them a start back in life again with a roof over their head. So I'm happy to support the recommendation that we have here. It's a step in the right direction. As Christopher Hardy says, it doesn't go far enough, but I do hope anyway that our consultation, when it does go back to the Department for Communities, that our comments and our points are taken aboard in that consultation. But I think primarily we need to protect the tenant, and we also need more resources and funding to build again. So that's for me. So I'm happy enough now to propose or second whenever it's been tabled here in Section 4. Thank you.
Andrews, Councillor Hardy, looking back in?
Yeah, sorry, just to say that again, my comments were about the actual motion, the Minister's proposals. In terms of the Council's consultation, they outline a lot of those points and outline them well. I'm happy to support the Council's consultation response.
Happy to propose?
Yeah.
That's great, thank you. Councillor
Riley? Yeah. Thanks, Anna. I welcome this proposed legislation, and I've recently had to work with a family that was in a house for almost 12 years and they're getting a month's notice. A family that had spent thousands of pounds in the run up to Christmas decorating that house, and just really feel for people in that situation. And that family would in fact get 7 months now notice. So that is a massive improvement. And I agree with Terry Hardy that, or not Terry Hardy, Terry Andrews, I'm mixing the Hardys and Terrys up. But certainly, I agree with Terry that we need more houses. That's the base level, that we must provide more first-time buyer accommodation. But I certainly welcome this legislation as a very positive step forward. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Riley. No other comments coming in, so we'll move on to item 7, which is rethinking resources. And Sinead Traynor, this is you.
Thank you, Chair. This paper is for decision. The purpose of this report is to inform members that the Department of Agriculture, Environment and Rural Affairs has launched the draft Rethinking Our Resources, Northern Ireland Resources and Waste Management Strategy consultation, and to propose that Council issues correspondence to DEIR requesting an extension to the consultation deadline. Taking this paper as read, members are asked to note the content of the report and agree that the Council write to DEIR requesting an extension to the consultation deadline in line with the other councils. Thank you.
Thank you, Sinead. Have you any comments or questions?
No, I'm happy enough to go with the recommendations I propose, Chair, if that helps. 3.1.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Could I get a seconder there for Adam?
Sorry,
Councillor Young, do you want to go ahead there?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just a query, just out of curiosity. I note in the report that it said that other councils had asked or requested for an extension as well. Do we know what other councils have asked for an extension?
No, not at this stage. Yes, it'll be brought through similar structures like tonight in behalf of other councils, so I'm not aware at this stage.
Okay, thank you, Sinead.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Young. Could I get a seconder there for item 7? Seconded by Councillor Hurley, thank you. We'll move on to item 8, which is health working groups, and Sinead Traynor again.
Thank you, Chair. This paper is for decision. The purpose of this report is to inform members that the next working group meetings will be held in March 2026. The special council meeting for health scheduled for the 28th of April 2026. To agree that officers review and seek additional attendees for the health working groups from established groups within the district with an interest in the health sector. And also to inform and seek members' approval of the revised terms of reference which will be presented at the health working groups. Taking this paper as read, members are asked to note the contents of the report and approve the proposed terms of reference in Appendix 1 as put forward for discussion and agreement at the planned working group meetings, and to agree that officers review and seek additional attendees for the health working groups from established groups within the district with an interest in the health sector. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Sinead. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks so much, Chair. And funny enough, I got to know Sinead through the South East Student Working Group back in the day. So, and I say that they've done a good job, and over the period of time that they've been about, it's good to see them back. And especially in the era that we're in with waiting lists, etc., I think it's important that we do have a local input into the decisions are made. So, happy to propose we go ahead with the terms of reference, etc., what's in the report.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Riley?
Yes, I very much welcome this proposal. It's something I've been asking for from the new council started. What has been proposed will largely mimic what we did in the old Newry and Mourne Council, which was very successful. I'm actually sitting on the Area Integrated Partnership Board at the minute that is developing new health strategies right across Northern Ireland. And one of the key points in that will be the new neighbourhood partnerships, which is based on trials that were done in Manchester, I think it was, or Liverpool, and they proved very successful, and that's actually bringing management of healthcare right down to, very localised input, and I think it will be a big success. It's going to be a dramatic change in the way that the health service is administered in right across the UK, but particularly here in Northern Ireland, where we have really lacked meaningful reform in the past. So I think this will complement what the Area Integrated Partnership Board's doing. So I very much welcome it, and I'll second it. Una, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Councillor Feehan.
Yes, thanks very much, Chair. Just to add to what Councillor Riley has said, they're very much welcome this, and great to see that it's moving. Just a question to Officer C in terms of membership from community groups or voluntary committees. Was there any sort of reassessment exercise undertaken of the groups that are operating within the community? Because I noticed that I see from a Newry perspective there, the DC Hill Action Group is listed on the previous iteration and moving forward into this one. And I'd just be keen to know whether council spoke to community groups operating, because I know, for example, the Dizzy Hill SOS committee is still fairly active, and I think actually recently had engaged with the Stormont Health Committee. So keen to understand what kind of conversations were had in that regard.
Okay, thank you, Chair, through the Chair. Just, I suppose, highlight point two here of the report is to agree that we look at the groups that are currently sitting on part of the health working groups, but also to carry out a review. As outlined in the report, these groups joined in 2017, so we want to review it and to look at attendance. So hopefully that, I find it hard to hear you, sorry there, just so hopefully that has issued and answered your point.
Yes, I suppose in part it has. Can you hear me all right now? I'm having a bit of difficulty as well with here in the chamber. I've never been told before that I'm too quiet, but I know the point that was made in the report, point two of the report, but I note as well that that has been carried forward into the terms of reference as well. So I suppose my question is, at the first meeting or preliminary meetings of the working group, will that be an item for discussion as to what sort of community representation is going to be sitting on the group?
In short, yes. It will be one point of discussion at the first health working group now in March 2026. That will be where we'll be talking about. We'll be talking about representation from the community groups, and we'll also be going out through our DEA structures to look at who should be in attendance.
That's great. Thanks very much, Chair. Thanks, Sinead.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you. See anyone else looking in there? So we'll move on. So items 9 to 13 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. Could I get a proposer and a seconder to go into closed session, please? Proposed by Councillor Kate Murphy and seconded by Councillor Rowan. Thank you. Okay, folks. Whilst in committee, the following items were agreed. Item 9, driver training contract. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Larkin, seconded by Councillor Murphy, to approve contract modification as detailed in Section 2 of the officer's report. Item 10, the path to net zero fleet fuel options. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Hurley, seconded by Councillor Andrews, to approve the transition from diesel to HVO in line with Council's transition towards a net zero council to achieve targets set by the draft sustainability and climate change strategy. Item 11, supply and delivery of BEV forklift. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Larkin, seconded by Councillor Ruan, to approve the additional. Item 12, waste contracts. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Larkin, seconded by Councillor Murphy, to approve the contract extensions as outlined in the officer's report. And item 13, the ARC21 Joint Committee meeting in committee minutes of Tuesday, the 2nd of December 2025. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Hurley, seconded by Councillor Andrews, to note the document. Thank you. Items 14 and 15 are for noting. If I could get a proposer and a seconder there for items 14 and 15. Proposed by Councillor Ruan and seconded by Councillor Murphy. Okay, folks, that concludes our meeting for February, so thank you very much. And